Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for every stage in life. What if you could visit or have a home that would accommodate anyone at any age, any physical ability, at any time? How cool would that be? That's what we're doing here at Aging in Place. Why me? Because I'm a doctor of psychology, and I specialize in physical spaces and health and wellness. Also, I love designing with intent at any age. Why now? Because we, the baby boomers, want to age in place gracefully, and we want our families around us as much as we can. And why you, the audience? Because we want you to experience what it's like to have a home that's safe, aesthetically pleasing, and that you can live in at any age, with any ability, at any time. I'd like to introduce you now to Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life. Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life. I'm Dr. Debbie Lines, and I'm here today with my friend Mel Savage. Thank you so much. We are videotaping today, yes. Which is always a treat.
I love being on video.
It adds another dimension to a very depth and breadth conversation.
That's right.
Excited to talk with you today. And I think our listeners are going to be really curious about your background and why we're talking about this subject. Yes. So if you will, Mel, share with us a little bit about your history and where you're from and what you do now.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm a Canadian. Mm-hmm. I'm a Canadian wintering in Hilton Head, which is the best place to spend your winter, I think, for any Canadian out there. And the people here are fantastic.
Where in Canada do you live?
I live just outside of Toronto. Actually, okay. I live in a lake community. So I'm, you know, beach in Canada in the summer and beach in Hilton Head in the winter. That's my idea,
good.
Right? That was the vision that I set for myself for my career. So I'll back up a little bit. I am a ex-corporate lifer. I worked both in advertising and marketing for years. I guess I spent the most time working with McDonald's. I was their head of marketing in Canada and in the UK. And then at about 45, so not that long ago, quote unquote, not that long ago, I decided I don't really know what I want to do, but I don't want to be doing this anymore. And I saw that sort of permeating so many people in the corporate world. They're there to make money, to, you know, buy things and make their life quote unquote happy, but they're not really enjoying themselves.
Fulfilled anymore. Or purposeful.
Yeah. And people call it midlife crisis, but I think it's just at that sort of time in your life where your values start to change and shift, and you don't really, your career and your life hasn't shifted with it yet. So you feel a bit, I call it wobbly, a little bit wobbly, like the ground underneath you, sort of not stable like it was before. So I had that experience and I decided I'm going to change my life. And so I went out and got my coaching certification and I opened up my own business, which I'd never done before, which is called The Career Reset. And what I do is I really help people find success in a job they love. And so that can be helping you amplify your performance in a current job that you love, or go out and maybe change your career completely, or just find a new job in a new place. So it's sort of everything in there. And for a long time, I focused on just corporate people. And then what ended up happening is entrepreneurs were coming to me. You know, you have to really be open to whatever comes to you in that space. So entrepreneurs are coming to me as well. So now I help entrepreneurs as well, not only with, you know, how to maintain their mindset in starting a new business, because that's really hard, but also a little bit on the marketing side too, how to really amplify their business success.
One of the things that was exciting, you and I were actually doing another project.
That's right.
And we were chatting, and I felt like it's so pertinent to Aging in Place for a couple of reasons. The fact that you were corporate, you've had a career, you've shifted and changed and reinvented yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that for many of us as we age, and because this is for any stage in life, you know, we're talking about it as a function of age, but what I like about what you say, it's really about value realignment.
Yeah.
I find that if you're living your values and there's a congruency to that, then purposefulness and happiness really follow. So what have you noticed in most of your folks? Is there a common theme?
Well, it depends on where they're coming from. But one of the common themes that I think is relevant to this discussion is I get a lot of women saying, you know what, I'm 50 plus, no one's going to want to hire me. I don't know what to do. You know, that happens a lot. And I think that comes from this belief, societal belief, that after a certain age, we can't do things anymore, or we're not sure we're worthy anymore. So it's really about re-engaging those people and saying, no, look, what is it that you love doing?
Exactly.
You can either reinvent yourself in what you already love doing in a field that you already have experience and capacity in, or you can reinvent yourself and do whatever you want. It's all about what's in your head and the stories that you tell yourself.
Well, and that's funny that you say that, because on the flip side, I have a 33-year-old daughter who's getting ready to have her second child.
Right.
And she's an anthropologist and also a teacher. Mm-hmm. She's choosing for the next couple of years to go on hiatus and kind of stay with these two kids.
Right.
And I find it interesting that the issues that I often face are what she's talking about. And so we have this sort of common denominator now about how do you reinvent yourself without losing yourself.
Right. And I think these are common issues regardless of your life stage. I think maybe the stories we tell ourselves sometimes are a little different depending on the life stage that we're in. I just was talking to a client last night. She, you know, educated all over the world, got her MBA, did exactly what she wanted to do, and is teaching now in a private school and hates it. She's 27 years old.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And she said, you know, I don't know what I want to do with my life. And I think that's what we often miss. And we were talking about it briefly before, is that, you know, your work life, your personal life, your relationship, your own self-care and your own self-worth are also intrinsically linked. You really can't sort of say,
tease them out.
Yeah. Tease them out. They sort of there, it's like, what's that word I was looking for? They spread into each other.
Yes.
Right. So you really need to start with yourself. You're the cog in this whole wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Decide what you want to be. That's where I start with my clients. What is it you want your life to look like? Not necessarily your career. What does it want your life to look like? And then fit it in. Because that's what I did. I was in a corporate job where I commuted an hour each way, every day to my job and worked 12 hours a day. And I said, no, I want my life to look like I can work from anywhere.
Okay, so that was the first thing you did.
Yeah.
I think this is really interesting. I'd almost like to pretend that, again, regardless of age, I'm a client. And how do you begin? Mm-hmm. What are the questions that you're asking me?
Well, I always start with, well, what do you want in your life? Where do you see yourself? What does success look like for you? Not just in your life, but in not just in your career, but in your life.
Okay.
And then we start there. And then how do you see your career fitting into that? So the process that I take people through is really about first life visioning, then understanding what makes them tick. What are their strengths? What makes them feel strong? What makes them feel weak when they're doing it? What are their current values? Getting realigned with those and then applying all of that to what that means for their career. We don't actually talk about career until maybe 3 or 4 weeks into the process when we really have a sense of who they are and what they want. And within that process, one other thing I'll add is we talk a lot about conditioning your mind for success. So how do you think about yourself? How do you rethink and reframe what you think about and believe about yourself?
What is the story I'm telling myself that may or may not be accurate?
That's right.
We were just, I have to tell myself a little bit. I'm just frustrated with my computer and I'm like, oh, I'm so dumb at it. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
I invite you.
Right. I offer you a new story, Deb.
Exactly. Because I think we do those negative that negative self-talk or those automatic thoughts often pop up.
Right. And we don't have to think that.
No, absolutely.
If you think, oh, I just tech is so confusing. I just can't do it. That's a story.
Right.
You want to do it? You can do it. And it's about getting comfortable with the discomfort. We always talk about, oh, you need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And we say it like it, just say it. We don't actually know what it means.
Oh.
And it's learning to actually get comfortable that way.
Well, being a psychologist, one of the things that I find interesting is most often change happens from discomfort.
That's right.
When you're in your safety, your little bubble.
That's right.
I don't need to change. I have my fluffy robe and
right.
I'm all good.
I know we have this time thing. But I want to say this thing about that. It's really important what you just said, because as human beings, we often react to crisis, right? When we have to make a change. And one of the things I talked about when we were together on the other project is, you know, we'll spend so much time in our lives doing our homework when we want to buy and make a big purchase, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's I'm going to buy a house or a car or a new, you know, iPhone or whatever. We do all our research. We spend hours and hours. When we're going to spend the money, we do our homework. When it comes to making the money, we don't do our homework, right? We sort of drift from one shiny object to another, one easy solution to another. And so what I work with my clients on is just spending that time, which doesn't take that much. You know, it doesn't take that. It takes a few months to do that introspective work to understand what makes you tick and do the practice of setting up your mind for success and then going after what you want.
I want to continue on that. I want to know what vision boarding is for you, life visioning, because I think that's really important. We're going to take a real quick break. We're a little bit early. We're going to go ahead and take a break so we can come back and continue to talk about this because it's really fascinating.
All right, great. Excited.
Stay with us. There's more to come on Aging in Place. Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines. Design elements are psychologically and physically supportive and conducive to health and wellness. To learn more about what Lines on Design can do for you, for more information on certified aging in place and facilitative and supportive design, look for us at linesondesign.com. That's L-Y-N-E-S on design.com. We are back here on Aging in Place for Any Stage in Life. I am with my friend Mel Savage. And I tell you, we took a quick break, but we keep on talking because I think this is a subject that once you open up the dialogue, people are not only curious about, but anxious to really share their stories and others. Do you find that?
Yeah, people definitely want to share their stories. I mean, people want to hear other people's stories. You know, when we hear other people's stories, it almost like it gives us permission to go after changing our own story or taking some action in our own story.
Do you find that people are pretty well aware? I know that we were talking in the first segment about, you know, really aligning your values. What do you want? What does success mean for you? How do you define that? Do we know that? Or does it take some kind of clever coaxing from you to help me put that into words, the language?
Right. Well, I guess it really depends because you can say, for instance, success is a value.
Okay.
But you have to define it. Success is too broad of a thing. It's like saying wealth is a value. Well, wealth to you might be family and friends and, you know, whatever. And some other people will be like, money, money, money. Right?
Exactly.
So you have to define what it means to you. And where that comes from first, I find, is we go through, as part of the process, a values assessment. And my values assessment...
It's my favorite thing ever.
Right. Is tough for people because a lot of people say, okay, here's your sheet of values, pick 10 of these, and then, you know, think about it and pick three. I go so deep, people are like, ah, that was really hard, but it is very introspective. It's about starting with that long list of values, really understanding in yourself, okay, what is it, now that I've got this long list, what is it my life like when I feel like I'm being, sorry, what's happening to me when I feel like I'm being stomped on?
Oh.
Or when I feel like I'm totally calm and at peace, what am I doing? And then what's the value behind that? So if, for instance, you know, I feel very calm and at peace when I'm doing something that stretches my mind, perhaps growth is a value.
Well, that's funny that you say that because one of the things from doing the podcast is I've had to continue to learn. And at 66, you know, you think, oh, I'm kind of done with that.
Right.
No. Time, 4 and 5 hours will go by as I continue to learn something that I in no way, shape, or form even knew I was interested in.
Right.
So that's really what you're saying.
Yeah. And the other thing is like respect is a big one for people, right? So, respect is a value for me. Okay.
What the heck does that mean?
Exactly. So when I feel like my people respecting me or my self-respect or someone's how they're treating me is being stomped on. Okay. We get this list of values. And then what I want people to understand is there are values in your life that you're holding onto that are, giving you energy and sucking your energy.
Ooh.
Okay. So for instance, if the idea that people are disrespecting you, whether it's they cut you off on the freeway or they, whatever, show up late for a meeting, if that's what you consider, you know, a value, but it makes you angry more often than not,
it's sucking.
Maybe that's a value that you don't necessarily need in your life anymore. And maybe there are other values that can really open you up. It's your choice. You might say, no, values, respect is an important value to me. Or you might redefine what the value of respect means to you and make it a bit more aspirational and change it into something that can give you energy versus take your energy.
I never thought about it as values that can actually, things that you hold important that aren't serving you well is really what you're saying.
Another one for me was security. Financial security was a big value for me, or comfort. And that was holding me back, you know, from moving forward in what I wanted to do with my life because my sense of security like freaked me out when I thought, oh my God, I'm not going to get a steady paycheck. So how can I handle this? And that freaks a lot of people out. So I needed to learn to let go of that and think of money differently.
And so I think when I hear things like I needed to learn how to let go of that, are there specific skills and strategies and techniques mm-hmm. that you recommend?
Well, I'm sure you know the positive psychology model about right. thoughts drive feelings, drive actions, drive results. And I really embed that into my practice at all stages, whether it's writing your career plan or just conditioning your mind for success. So if you have a thought in your head that without a steady paycheck every week, I'm going to not be comfortable mm-hmm. or I'm going to be stressed out, that's a thought, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's about the idea that, you know, if the circumstance or the fact is I'm not getting a steady paycheck every week, download all your thoughts about what that means to you. Think and then pick one and understand what it feels like.
You know, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Let's kind of shift this to an aging in place model, yeah. if you will. I have a client right now that I'm dealing with mm-hmm. that is moving from their forever home mm-hmm. into assisted living. Absolutely phenomenal place. Yeah. Beautiful. Right.
No. And so many people feel that way, right?
It is. It's really taking an emotional drain. Mm-hmm. So what I hear you saying is how you offer skills and strategies to help shift
yes.
that negative mindset.
Yeah. So if she's got, what she would need to do is download all the thoughts she has about, obviously she,
her, I'm getting old. I'm this, I'm that.
Right,
I'm
right.
This,
and, I'm that. Okay. And she's got to pick one. And her, obviously the overwhelming emotion for her is fear.
Okay.
Okay. It sounds like.
Yes.
But what is the main thought driving that fear? And so the fear is leading her to an action of resisting mm-hmm. the change, and the result she's going to get is being unhappy mm-hmm. in what she's doing, let's say.
Gosh, you could really psychologically analyze
right.
that.
Right.
Fear, mortality,
sure.
independence,
sure.
quality of life.
So what I tell people is, okay, how do you want to feel about this? Mm-hmm. So this is the key thing. You have to want the change. Like if she's like digging her heels and saying, I don't even want to think about what's limiting my beliefs. I just don't want to go. Mm-hmm. Then she's not ready to have this conversation.
Do you do a lot with stages of change? Where you know, there are different stages of change where there are some people who are just, no, I'm not ready to even talk about it. And then it's sort of like, I'll think about it, but yeah. I'm not really going to.
If they don't want to talk about it, I can't work with them.
Okay.
That's the thing. If you're not ready, because I can only kind of show you the way.
Right.
I can't do the work for you. You have to want to do the work or you're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. So let's say she wanted to feel, so what do you want to feel about it? I want to feel comfortable. Right. I want to feel excited.
I know okay. this is a great move for me. That's I just right. feel all this apprehension.
Right. So, but I want to feel excited. Okay. What thoughts do you need to think
okay.
to feel excited?
Yeah. I guess I need yeah. to feel secure. I need to mm-hmm. feel connected. I need to feel that I am.
What are the thoughts you need to think? You need to think, this could be good for me.
Okay.
Right?
The positive thoughts. Okay.
Right?
This could be good for me.
I'm going to make new friends.
Yeah.
It's going to be safer for me there.
Got it.
You know, my family's still going to come see me. I can build a new community. What are the thoughts that are going to make you feel whatever it is you want to feel?
Okay.
And then what you need to do is say to yourself, okay, someone who thinks mm-hmm. this is going to be a good for me, move for me and starts to feel comfortable, how would they act? Well, they would be open to all the things.
They would right? invite me to cocktails at 4:30.
Right? And so then you start to practice
yes.
behaving in the way that kind of person would behave.
Got it.
Right? And it's not going to be easy.
Uh-uh.
You have to, and I write models every day for myself. Like these are, I call this the self-reset model. I've just branded it. I didn't invent it, obviously. But, you know.
Self-reset model. Yeah. I like that.
So I just, you know, I practice models every day on myself for things that are holding me back.
Mm-hmm.
And so if this person could practice the model of behaving in a way that gives her the feeling and the thoughts that she
yes.
needs to have to create the life she wants in this new environment.
In right? many ways, it's developed, I hate to say mm-hmm. it and simplify it, it's developing new positive habits,
mm-hmm.
habits that work for you.
Right. And in a belief that you believe,
mm-hmm.
right? If she said, you know, for instance, you know, if I said to myself, if I had low self-esteem and all of a sudden my belief is, I'm the most beautiful woman in the world.
Right.
My brain is going to fight against that.
Right.
So I need to think something that is believable, take a step. So it might be, there are a lot of good things about me there. I might start there, you know?
And I think what I hear you say mm-hmm. is this is about reality. One of the things I learned a long time ago about positive psychology mm-hmm. is it's not rainbows and butterflies, unicorns. And
no.
you know, no, it's not. It's
yeah.
about being real, but recognizing that we do have the power to sort of shift.
Yeah.
the way our brain works.
It just takes practice. It's like if you are someone, and I know there's a lot of people like this in Hilton Head, who is a fitness person or
yeah.
always trying to improve your golf game or whatever it is. I mean, you practice all the time.
That's right.
To get good at that.
Yeah, baby.
To run further, right?
right?
practice.
Exactly.
It's just practice.
I have a new little one, and you know, she's learning to walk, and she doesn't just get up and walk. She gets up and falls down, and gets up and falls down,
right.
gets up and falls down. And you forget about that. You really do.
And she doesn't care that she falls down.
She's having a blast.
Yeah.
She's like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
We're going to take another quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about, if you're willing to do this, about sort of shifting careers as you mm-hmm. age. And yeah. Are you ever too old to sort of rebrand yourself, for lack of a better word? Stay with us. There's more to come on Aging in Place.
For more podcast episodes, links, information, and media inquiries, please visit our website at agingInPlacePodcast.com as we transition through life with the comfort and ease you deserve. Discover how you can create a home that will adapt to you as you journey through life and the changes it will bring. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as our host, Debbie Lines, and her expert guests discuss relevant topics to creating a home for all decades in life. Don't miss our weekly episodes of Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life.
We are back here on Aging in Place. I am here with my friend Mel Savage, and we're having an absolutely fascinating, and I like to call it spirited, discussion today. Really about rebranding, reinventing yourself. And when we took a break, I was asking if it's, is it ever too late to rebrand myself? Am I too old to get a job?
Right.
You know, do we, as we get older, begin to think in those terms?
Well, I think we think in those terms, but those are stories that we're telling
ourselves.
So let's ask, you know, Betty White, if she's too old. Let's ask, what is that guy whose mother is like an icon now, the rich guy with the rockets?
Steve Brannan?
No, the other guy. Oh, no. Yeah. I can't think of his name.
If anyone knows
Elon
the
Musk.
Name.
Yeah, Elon Musk, his mother, right? She's a new icon.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So you can... if you think you're too old to do something, then you will be too old to do something.
What's interesting, our producer, Henrik, is asking a question during the break. What about age discrimination? Mm-hmm. Is that something that folks bring to the table when they talk to you?
Yeah. And I think it's a real thing. It's just like any other kind of discrimination. You can't think your way out of changing the world's other people's thoughts, right? So, you know, the big thing about the positive psychology model is there's something called a circumstance, right? And circumstances are other people.
Correct.
And, you know, facts or things that happen outside of our control, you know, you cannot control other people. Although a lot of people spend so much energy trying to control other people, you can't control other people. So there's going to be people out there who don't want to work with old people or intimidated by old people are. When I say old, I'm like air quoting old.
Whatever that means.
Right?
It could be 40.
That could be 40.
That's right.
Right. I'm turning 50 this year. I feel like 50 is the new 30, sister. Whatevs, right? I just said whatevs and I'm 50.
And I understood it and I'm 66.
Right.
So there you go.
There you go.
Eric is like, I never even heard of it.
That's right.
He's a baby. So there you
right?
go. Yeah.
So, I mean, they're going to be out there. That doesn't have to stop you from going after what you want and rebranding yourself and going out there with a mindset of success and abundance.
And let's talk about baby boomers right now, because I think that we are almost ubiquitous. We're pretty much all out there now. We're a huge part of the demographic, and we're just growing. And I think it's interesting. My dad lives with us and he's 91, and his mindset, I think, his belief system is a bit more rigid. And I find that the older I get, the less rigid I am, the more open to new things and new experiences. Yeah. So is part of that just minding your beliefs and following exactly?
I think it's personality too. It's who you are. I mean, my husband, maybe there's some gender stereotypes in there too. My husband seems to get less and less. He's a boomer. I'm a Gen Xer.
Okay.
So yeah, he seems
Oh, does he get curmudgeon-y?
He gets curmudgeon-y. Oh, and then I'm like, snap out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and I snap when I'm doing it. You know, I think it's just attitude. Everything about we're talking about is attitude. You know, I was getting ready for this and I thought, I'm just going to have video. I'm going to put makeup on. And then I was like, nobody cares what I look like.
Right.
No one actually cares.
Correct.
At the end of the day. As long as I'm saying something smart or helpful or inspiring or whatever, we call ourselves, you know, hope dealers. I'm a hope dealer.
There you go. There you go.
As long as I can provide some hope, no one's actually going to care what I'm wearing and what I look like. And that's really the way of the world, right? If you're providing value to people, mm-hmm. you know, discrimination. I watched this great thing yesterday on Arthur Ashe because the Australian Open just started and I'm right. a huge tennis fan.
Love it. And how's the weather there, by the way?
It rained yesterday, okay, but good. It's sunny today. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Arthur Ashe's story, and he did not let, and there's so many great stories like this, mm-hmm. right? He did not let discrimination stop him from going after what he wanted to. In fact, he looked at it as an opportunity to change the world. And he went to Africa and he spoke out against apartheid and tried to change apartheid in sport. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are all things that are possible when you change your mindset and use the, you know, quote unquote block okay. as an opportunity.
Oh my gosh. I'm inspired just thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So what I really hear you say is, as we get older, use that as an opportunity yeah. for growth because, and this is just a fact, as we age, our experiences become richer, don't you think?
I think so.
Deeper
yeah.
and more telling.
Yeah.
So when
I think people get more tired when they're older, like, I don't want to try anymore. I don't want to take any chances anymore. I don't want to, well, that's okay. That's you. Mm-hmm. That's your life.
But I invite you.
Yeah. However, if you have a goal that mm-hmm. you want to achieve, you know, it's going to take action.
Is there a way that you determine goals and objectives for people? Do you go broad spectrum for that and then kind of drill down?
Well, when it comes to career specifically, I start broad spectrum. We start with life, then you, then what that means for your career, and then we establish career goals specifically. It depends on what the people are looking for. You know, they might start with a really broad goal. Like, I just want to be happy in my
right.
job. Okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And then that's broad.
Right.
There's nothing
that
wrong is, with that
no.
goal.
Uh-huh.
You just need to whittle
that's
it
right.
down. So it you need to get more and more specific. And at the end of the day, like it is with anything, weight loss, you know, new career, anything else, people have a sense, especially when it comes to career for some reason, people want to be certain that they're going to have success at every single step of the journey before they're willing to start taking the first step.
Oh, okay.
Right?
All right.
So, you know, I want to be a...
Present company except.
Yeah, no. I want to be a designer. I want to
right.
be like you. I want to be able to be an interior designer. But I don't know if I'm going to be good at it. And mm-hmm. so, you know, and I'm not sure I can go to school anymore. And I'm not sure that maybe I'm too old to do it. And they go on and on and on. And so they don't take one step to find out anything about it.
So self-fulfilling prophecy
right?
then occurs. Yeah.
Right. So what I tell people, and it's the same thing with weight. I want to lose 50 pounds, but 50 pounds sounds so huge.
Right. I'll do
and
it tomorrow.
Hard,
right.
mm-hmm. you know, that we don't start. We don't try to lose the first ounce.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really what I help people on. Once we have the goal, which might be huge to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's fine. What's the first step? Don't worry about all the other steps because what the first step informs, the next step informs the next step, and you're going to figure it out as you go along.
You know, it's funny. Some people have mindsets I found as I've gotten older of work to me always represented finding something I loved and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, my husband, it was always work was he was raised that work was a means to achieve financial stability.
Right.
And I think that those are two just diametrically opposed mm-hmm. belief systems,
that's
as
right.
you were saying.
That's right. I'm more on your husband. In my upbringing, I was taught that work is a responsibility to bring home money to support the family.
Okay.
And in fact, in my family, which is a bit more, I'm a first generation Canadian. My parents were immigrated to
okay.
Canada. I was taught men go to work and bring home the money to support the family. So my father never held me back from going after my own career. But when my husband didn't make as much money as I was making, that became a discussion point. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But these are belief systems, right? That were there and then were ingrained in me. In fact, at the beginning, I had a problem with it too.
It's so
But I had to rework my brain going, this mm-hmm. is ridiculous. This is nothing. Like, we have enough money. Who cares?
It's all about the journey.
Yeah, it's all about the journey.
I mean, it really is. Mm-hmm. All right, I can't believe we're out of time.
I know, I want to talk more. I want hours.
I know, exactly. I'm like, where's the time? Oh, there is no time. But before we go, yeah. I want to thank you, Mel Savage, mm-hmm. very much. Mm-hmm. What I'd love to have you do is, again, some shameless self-promotion,
oh,
if you
love
will.
Oh, shameless
right?
self-promotion.
Okay. All about it. And again, your name and how we can reach you
yeah.
and if we're interested in
yeah.
chatting with you
yeah.
about kind
absolutely.
Of reinventing ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm Mel Savage. college. My company is called The Career Reset. I'm at thecareerreset.com. I have a, and you can contact me through there. It's right on the first page. You can book some time with me, a free 30-minute consult. We'll talk about what's going on with you and then find the right path forward for you in terms of what's next. I have a monthly membership program. I have one-on-one coaching, and I have a podcast called The Career Reset. And if you want to, you can search that on iTunes, is it iTunes or iPodcast or the podcast app now? Or you can just go to thecareerreset.com/podcast.
You're amazing. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you
all for joining us here on Aging in Place for any stage in life. Mel Savage, again, thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine, Tracy. Tracy is naturally curious and always creative. And when we were doing the Aging in Place podcast, she said, there are so many quick tips that I can think of offhand. My response, who knew? She's going to be with us every week, giving us a quick tip and a hint that is a practical application.
Thanks, Debbie. My grip sucks. Bathroom safety grips can be used everywhere by anyone, and not just for showers. I have a friend that has trouble standing for long periods of time before his legs start getting weak. So I attached one on the kitchen counter next to his coffee pot and one on the counter in the bathroom next to his sink. I also placed one on his patio door. Some sliding patio doors have the small grips where you're supposed to be able to open them with just your fingertips. And if you even have arthritis, it's hard to open or close the door, let alone find the strength to pull the door on its track. Having a suction grip on the patio door at the right height gives more leverage to open or close, and if you do lose your balance, the stability is there with the safety grip. The grip bars have attached suction cups and sticks to most surfaces, so removal and attaching them is easy. But do make sure you read the manufacturer's instructions before placing. I even packed a safety grip in my friend's suitcase when he went to visit his family so he could use their sink with no problem. Who knew we can get a grip on just the basics of keeping ourselves aging in place?
Mel Savage is an amazing spokeswoman, and here's what we learned today. We always like to have our takeaways. It is never too late to reinvent yourself, and reinvention can look like a job change. It can look like an attitude change. It can be pretty much of anything, but here's the bottom line. Don't be afraid. Thank you all for joining us here on Aging in Place.
Aging in Place podcast is hosted by Debbie Lyons and produced by Henrik de Gior. If you have any comments or questions, send an email to debbie@agingInPlacePodcast.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring this podcast, email us at pr@agingInPlacePodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Aging in Place Podcast.